Yeah, got it. Here we go. Write to us at MyNorthwest.com. Text as well at 989873. Come on in, teeny tiny lady. In a pickle jar, we'll choose a letter of the day. It's probably the greatest honor that you'll ever be given by a teeny tiny lady in a pickle jar. Driving it. All right. Wow. Big day here in the Free Elm, Tom. The governor was here.
Unbelievable. I'm
unbelievable.
Sure you're beaming like the woman wrestler.
Oh, liver. You know when the when the emperor comes down and spends time amongst the serf, the common people, we all like, oh, please bless us with your presence. Tell us, what can we do now, and ruler? But it's all just yesterday's news. I don't know what that is. That's not right. Hang on. That's not your walk-on music.
That's me. That's...
Ah, next is the cat. There we go.
Wow.
It was about yesterday's news, so that's appropriate for Felix.
We got to talk about that misfired intro. That's me singing yesterday's news. That's my old band, the Pink Slips. That's my real walk-on music.
Oh, well, when you get your own show, you can do that.
Hey, yeah, right.
The fact that Governor Inslee had come to town to Roslyn in the Clee Elum, in the Free Elum, to honor one of our residents here, Felix. You get a chance to take a look at Willie Craven?
Yeah, he's probably the first black person elected to the office of mayor in the state of Washington. He was first appointed back in 1975 in June, and then that November, he won election to the mayorship of Roslyn. And his family is just completely tied into the history of Roslyn because always been a mining town, and back in the late 1880s, they brought in hundreds of black workers to break a strike. And Mayor Craven is descended from people who were brought to Roslyn for that labor activity back in the 1880s and 1890s. It's a really amazing place. You've been to the cemeteries in Roslyn with different ethnicities?
Is that
what a cool place to walk around.
Oh, my God. Explain to people how that thing is set up. It really is. I mean, when you're driving, you get off I-90 and you get around near Safeway, they'll have signs for Roslyn Cemetery, and you're like, why do I want to go to the cemetery? But when you drive up that one road tucked up in there, is a very fascinating place.
Yeah, and because all the different ethnicities who were represented in Roslyn as early as the late 1880s and 1890s, they all kind of kept together, and they formed these different societies and had branches of these societies that let them pool their resources. And so if somebody died and needed to be buried, they would take care of all the expenses and put people in these different cemeteries that were set off by segments and by sections. So you have you might have a Latvian section, or you might have an African-American section, or you might have a Czechoslovakian section. It's just a way of the ethnic groups came together to support each other. And then everything's all segregated in these little cemeteries that they cared for and maintained, almost like a public park, because 120 years ago, cemeteries were like parks. People went there on the weekends and had picnics and stuff. And that's just a really very visible reminder of how Roslyn was this town built on the backs of these different groups of people who came to work in the mines.
Yeah. Now, Willie Craven's brother, Wes Craven, at the age of 78 years old, he was still out there on cold winter days. He would actually dig the graves.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I went on a walking tour of Roslyn.
Hand digging with a pickaxe up to his chest. He's out there hand digging it as well there at the graves with the Clee Elum Laurel Hill Memorial, but also just up in Roslyn. So the mayor comes up in order to honor Willie Craven, because in February they did say it was Willie Craven Day, and then a bunch of different folks that are politically active kept saying to the governor, please come here to Roslyn and pay, homage, because they're going to put up a memorial little plaque there for Willie in Roslyn.
Yeah, and when I'm governor, I'm going to do something like this every single day of my administration. I'm going to go to a little town in Washington 5 days a week, maybe 7 days a week, to dedicate plaques and honor the people who make up the history of this incredible state of Washington. So that's what I'm going to do if elected.
And that's what you're running on is...
That's my platform. My platform is going around the state and honoring people in little towns 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, because there's so much great history here, and most of the time it's just ignored, other than on Wednesdays and Friday mornings on Seattle's News.
Good one.
That's why historians are never in office. No one wants them to be regurgitating the past, right?
Real quick question, John. Did you say... What did you say the name of the brother of Willie was?
Wesley.
It's really Wes Craven?
We went through this last time.
Last time it turned out that was... Anyway.
the horror director.
Right. There's a famous horror director named
Relation, I assume. Right?
Well, there is when the horror director was born, they didn't pass some sort of law that I know of that no one else was allowed to be called Wes. This is Wesley Craven. He's 78 years old. I mean, is that okay?
Yeah. And to dig those graves, you have to have
Felix.
A pickaxe because the soil there is, it's so rife with, it's right in the heart of the Cascades. I think it's at about 2,200 feet or something like that. So it's classic Cascade foothills and the soil is so hard packed. So yeah, you have to dig it by hand. You can't get all that equipment in there that you need, but.
Do we know what kind of conditions there were that created this particular mayorship? I mean, did he run against somebody? Was there was it an issue that he was a black man? Was it irrelevant? Were the black miners that were brought in, or did they outnumber the white population? Do you know anything about how it is
I'm
that
glad
he won
you
an
asked that, Tom. Tom, you always ask the really good, thoughtful questions that don't involve picks and shovels and digging holes up to your shoulders. No, what all these hundreds of black workers came in the 1880s to break the strike, and that worked, right? And then eventually the United Mine Workers came in and organized, and everybody worked at the mines. The mines were desegregated. Mm-hmm. By the time it gets to be 1975, there's only one black family left in Roslyn, and that's the Craven family, where there had been hundreds.
Wow.
Because Roslyn had shrunk. Roslyn had been something like 4,000 people in the 30s, mm-hmm. and it shrunk down to something like 700 people by the early 1970s. So there's just this one black family left. And Willie Craven, he gets appointed by the city council to fill a vacancy. And I don't know why that office was vacated in June of 1975. Mm-hmm. But he then ran in the election that November and actually was the first elected black mayor in the state of Washington.
He wins in a landslide, Tom.
Yeah, they have landslides all the time in Roslyn. They're very dangerous. That's why you get Wes Craven with that pickaxe out there. He rescues everybody by hand.
It scares the hell out of
the guy's digging people out of the landslide with a pickaxe.
I'm glad we can all laugh at history.
it's the only thing you really can do.
Right. Well, the mayor or the governor was met with signs. I don't know how many people were carrying the signs that I had made because this was a real hard thing because here in the small town, they're telling people, listen, this is Willie's day. And I know you don't like the governor, but don't ruin Willie's day by holding up some horrible sign that says, F you, governor, because when he's coming through, it's just don't mess up the day by messing up the politics that you have if you dislike Governor Inslee, the ruler, then just let this be Willie's day. But people were really torn, and they said, well, we still want to let the governor know, we're glad you came here to see Wes, Willie, but we don't like you. I'm like, you're going to have a big piece of poster board that explains all that to you.
Well, Roslinians have never been afraid to tell people how they feel in public. It's been the site of big protests and brawls and things going back 130 years, 140
years. Is
that
right?
Well, the labor
Northern Exposure, Roslyn?
The labor era, the 1880s and 1890s, there was really violent labor strife and conflict there on the streets of Roslyn. And there were in many Northwest towns. This was the rough and tumble world, and the haves and have nots were fighting it out, and it was all, the OSHA hadn't been invented yet, the unions hadn't quite made it here, so there was a lot of stuff to settle.
Wow.
And that's when they got Wes Craven out there with his pickaxe again, up to his shoulders.
Stop with the Wes Craven thing.
So John's disappointed, though, that you didn't ask him, Felix, what kind of signs did you make last night? So, John, let me ask you, what did you put
always
on
ask
the signs?
Good signs. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, wow.
What did your sign say, John?
Hold on. Let me just quote Willie for a second. Here's a quote from Willie. Some people will like me. Some people won't, he said. I didn't run for this job as a black man, but as a man. I wanted an equal chance to try. If I can do it, great. If the people vote me out, but if they vote me out in September, well, so be it. So, and he ends up winning, and then that's why the governor comes. So I came up with some signs, and I sent them out, and I said, listen, you guys want them? You can have them. I'm just coming up with this stuff. I actually came up with it in the segment just before letters yesterday. So not my best. My friend Lene kept writing to me, we're all sitting here. We've got our magic markers and they're drying out. We need, come up with your own stuff. I wrote Willie for governor. I thought that was going to be good. Willie wins. Willie wins. Teach that in your history book, governor. How does CRT explain WILLIE? And then here's some math and history. Half a man honors a whole man. I kind of like that one.
Ouch. That's a low blow.
And then
man.
And then Willie never used emergency powers, only common sense. So if you saw any of those signs out there, Governor, you can thank me and then the thank for the people with the black Sharpies.
So nothing about the Apple Maggot quarantine area on any of your signs.
I thought it was too easy, Felix. It was, you know, there's something about, you know, leave your apples. Still too soon for those worms in those apples. Felix,
quarantine,
anything else you want to say?
Not people. No.
Hey. Hang on. It's still not too late for that. What was that again? Quarantine apples?
Quarantine apple maggots, not people. That's terrible. I don't stand by that statement.
Too late. Thanks, Felix. You got my big Sharpie. There he goes. All right. Thanks, Phyllis, for a little quick bit of history. And then finally, DeSantis, speaking of history, and Joe Biden continue to battle it out. I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Is that, which one said that? Was that Joe
that
said
was
that?
DeSantis. That was DeSantis. DeSantis in response to Joe Biden. This is really, you know, sort of it's just political sniping. But yesterday, Joe Biden in the White House came out and said, listen, governors,
I got it.
But, oh, you do? Yeah, play it. Okay, great.
Some governors aren't willing to do the right thing to beat this pandemic. I say to these governors, please help. But if you aren't going to help, at least get out of the way.
And then he went on to say, did he mention Neanderthal thinking? No, that was before. Okay.
You are trying to lock people down. I am standing in your way, and I'm standing for the people of Florida. So why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you.
He sounds more and more like a guy from New Jersey. Where is his lineage? Because that accent is getting thicker and thicker, sort of an East, serious East Coasty sort of thing. So they've been battling it out back and forth. It was Joe Biden had pointed out Texas and Florida have the most amount of cases right now. I forget the third state that he had also mentioned. So he said, you know, get in there. Yeah, because he's upset Joe Biden, because DeSantis has said, I'm not going to let
for mandates.
No mandates. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was what the governor, it's actually in Texas and Florida. Now the law of the land is that you cannot, under whatever jurisdiction you have, you cannot put in a mask mandate. So he's saying, listen, let the people decide in their individual districts. We just heard at the top of the news with CBS, two school districts in Florida are defying the governor and saying we are, requiring masks indoors for when our students come back. So that's what the battle is. There are some people that say, I'm neutral on mask mandates. You can have them if you want it, like some mayors and some people don't want to have them. It's up to you. The governor is now coming in both Texas and Florida saying, I'm making that decision for everybody. You can't do that. No mask mandates, with the support of a lot of people. I don't know if it's ever gone to a vote, but in terms of the legislature, I'm sure there's both of them are red legislatures, so they probably
I think
do support it.
DeSantis said that if a parent wants to put a mask on a child, they can. It's up to the parent. But he was saying
it's your choice. No mandates.
It's not choice. I'm not going to tell you. It's your choice if you want to do that. So and then Texas as well just released this news that over 7,000 COVID positive migrants have been released into this one particular city since February. So the concern with people wearing masks, and you might want to do something about the 190,000 surging across the border in single.
Well, they're officially
in May.
Yeah, they're officially not letting him in. One of the things that was expected by this time when Biden was elected is that he would alleviate or lift those restrictions about immigrants coming in over the Mexican border. But they've stayed in place because because COVID-19 is still a threat. So those are still in place operating along Trump lines, Trump's directive.
Trump said stay in Mexico. And then don't come across. And then Biden lifted that, pulled him out of Mexico. They could come in and say, I want asylum, and then they could ask for it or not. So they've been picking them up and moving them. They fly them laterally across the state and then kick them back out again. But
they turned back hundreds of thousands, it says.
Right.
Tampa Bay Times.
A million have come in. Alrighty, so that is a problem at the border, but if we could just all get along and sell lemonade on a little teeny tiny floating sort of store, the world would be a better place. The Seattle Times takes a look at two young women that his father, did both dads get involved in this? Or just only one dad got involved?
It's just they're sisters, so it's one dad.
Okay, I think there's two dads though, Tom.
Well, okay, but no, the other dad. That's the sad part of the story. This is such a heartwarming story, but at the end, you go, oh, that's right. That he only has them every other weekend, so clearly they're divorced. Their parents, and that makes it kind of sad. But now we're already hearing traffic music, and this is an upbeat story.
We have to save
John.
That one. We have to save that.
Oh, we
that
do.
One.
Okay, we'll come back
to it. We'll save that. The girls with the lemonade stand. All right. Yeah. Let's see. Tracy Taylor looking at traffic for us. How are we doing on a Wednesday? A big lineup around Roslyn with the people at the signs?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Good. There you go. The whole show came to a screeching halt, but we knew that Rachel Bell would come busted through the door. She's bigger and best. Well, no. Muckleshoot Casino is still biggest and best in Northwest, right next to Rachel Bell. I don't know. I know they've got a place there called Pizza. Do they have any desserts that might be interesting?
You know what? I can't do this show today because Tom's reading was so moving.
Yes.
Just now, I don't think I could do the show.
You know what? Cairo 7 News has your back. That's what you need to know, Rachel.
Okay. Oh, good. Is Jesse going to come and dry my tears and carry me off somewhere to the top of a mountain with a comfy bed on top?
Wow.
No, not for us to lay in together. Just me. Just
okay.
Me. I guess I can't find my script either.
That was Rachel Bell. That was Rachel Bell. Thank you, Rachel. Muckleshoot Casino. I'm sure they're proud of that. Money well spent.
Doing professional journalism with professional journalists.
Let us know if you find any.
Yeah.
So, hey, I know they've got pizza at the Muckleshoot. Do they have any dessert, like cake or something? That would be interesting.
Yeah, you can get cake at Cake. But actually, you have to go all the way to England to get it. So I love these kind of stories. You can now buy a slice of cake from Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer's wedding 40 years ago. It's a large slice of cake icing and marzipan base. They had 23 cakes for their wedding. This was in 1981. So this is some old cake. And now it's being auctioned off by a UK auction house. Now, it's a little bit sneaky how this happened because it wasn't like they saved this piece of cake like a regular couple does and puts it in the freezer and they're going to eat it on their anniversary. This cake, they think, was sent to Clarence House to somebody on Queen Mother's staff. So that is like, you can't come to the wedding because we don't want you there. But here's a piece of cake, staff lady. And then somebody swiped it, an employee of the Queen Mother, and she sold it to the auction house in 2008. And so it's been sitting there ever since. So it's nice old cake. They say don't eat it. And it's not even going to get, they think it's going to get $400. Is that worth it that they stole cake 40 years ago to get $400 now? That just doesn't seem like a lot. So I was just curious if you guys had, you know, is there any memorabilia or strange memorabilia that you would like? Like, do you want like the tissue that somebody like Meryl Streep blotted her lipstick on or something like that?
Like an historic figure of some sort. Napoleon's penis was sold at auction for
$2,900.
$2,900? $2,900 back in 1969, one of the world's top urologists purchased it, and it is now in the basement of somebody's home, his daughter's home in New Jersey, in the basement, in a box.
Of course, Napoleon's penis.
Yes, that's right. Whoa. So that was left over. That was an old. That's an old drop from a long time ago because Tom said that's what he would want to purchase. Answering the question for you is I don't know this. I don't really have any historical stuff that you know. I guess you'd have to stop and think about like if it was available online or at an auction that something that would mean something to you. That
and also, yeah, does
purposes.
It mean something to you? Or you know, a lot of this is like so that when you're. Friends come over, you can say, look, it's Napoleon's penis, everyone. You know, it's like, is it really for you? Like did I mention this on the air? A couple weeks ago, I bought a working candy machine at a garage sale. You put a quarter in and you turn it around. And to be honest, I bought this for other people. I knew people would come over and be like, that's so cool. And now I'm just waiting for people to come over to see this. Otherwise, I'm draining all the candy into my mouth.
Yes. So if you do get something... it either has to be something that's universal appeal to everybody, yeah. or you, it's like you used to get an album and your friend would be standing there and then you drop the needle down and you're playing the song, staring at him while the song is playing, hoping that he or she loves the song as much as you do. Oh my God. It was
that
so
is my
awkward.
Pet peeve. Watching a movie with someone where you can see out of your peripheral that they
that
are
they're
watching
looking
you
at
to
you.
Make sure you're laughing. Do not look at me. I hate that. Oh. Hey, speaking of that, that is something that a partner might do that makes you want to break up with them. There is a story in GQ entitled, "When It Turns Out Your Pandemic Partner Kind of Sucks." So this whole story is about people who either started dating during the pandemic or maybe like a month before it. And so they spent their entire relationship in this bubble where they hardly saw anybody else. They never saw them at a restaurant or at a club. And now some people are saying, oh, you are not who I thought you were when we were in the house watching movies when you were looking at me and making sure I was laughing. So some of the things people are noticing is someone's a bad tipper. Or I think this is a little more dramatic. You go out and you didn't realize that your partner was a huge partier and how much they drink and that they do drugs. This one was interesting to me. This is obviously written in by an introvert that they interviewed. They were kind of put off by the fact that their partner is really chatty at dinner parties. They said, "I first got to see the intimate, personal, and sensitive side. If I had seen the other side of him that's outgoing, sarcastic, and chatty, I don't know if I would have been as initially attracted to him." That's offensive to me as somebody with no personality. Rachel Sussman, a licensed marriage and family therapist in New York, said something that hit home for me. She said, "It's the same scenario as if you meet someone on vacation and fall in love. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same in real life." And I can relate to that because let's set the tone. Spring break, 1998, my freshman year of college, my friends and I go down to Rosarito, Mexico for spring break. And the first night I meet this guy, he is not my type. He's kind of a jock. He's kind of a preppy. I still was wearing heavy metal t-shirts. I don't know how this happened, but for our whole trip, we were inseparable. We had a great time. We left. We never saw each other again. We didn't even exchange numbers. 2 years later, I am walking home from campus and I see this guy walking towards me. He had transferred schools, nothing to do with me. And we both looked at each other in complete horror, like, hey, we went out on one date. Had nothing to talk about, nothing in common, and never saw each other again.
Thank you for
the
that,
more you
Rachel.
Know. Yeah. By the way, my part message, of, don't date a preppy.
Part of the personalities that were also brought up in that article was the person that sneaks away from the table and then pays the bill for everybody.
Yes, these pet peeves were so interesting. You know, my partner's too outgoing. My partner always pays the bill. I'm like, really? These are our problems?
Yeah, why is that a problem where the person goes away and pays the bill and then pays for everybody? Why is that a problem?
In the article, the person made it sound like they didn't like their showiness. It was like they did it too much and they were doing it for attention, but I don't care. Like, pay for my dinner. Yeah. It's fine.
That's right. Yeah.
John identifies with that guy, and he's offended that anyone would be offended by his generosity.
It's not showy. It's not. If you pay it and then it comes back and then we'll take the check and then because when you sneak away from the table, here's when it's showy. The thing comes and you go, I got it. When you do the old sneak away and you talk to the waiter ahead of time off to the side, the bill never comes. No one ever notices and you pay it. That's fine, Dandy. That's on the low,
and
right?
That's what the guy did in the article. He said that he even blamed it on John Hamm one time. Paying for the bill. I know. I don't see what the problem is. This is people who don't have enough worries in their life.
Right. I do that because you're sitting there with like seven or eight people and then they start breaking down. I got the, did you get the chips? It's like, how much money should I leave? It's like, oh my God.
You ate three more chips than me, Marlene. I think you should put in a little extra.
Or the worst is when the bill comes and then everybody has to put in cash and then the person you're noticing, well, that person only put in $20. They didn't put in tip money. Then the thing has to keep going around and around until finally there's enough cash on the pile in order to pay the bill. And you're looking at people like you didn't give anything. Or the one guy that ordered like 50 drinks and now you're paying for his drinks.
That I don't like.
Yeah. Where the person slides off you and buys all the drinks. They don't buy any of the drinks, but they drink. And then it's like, why don't we all throw $20 in? Right?
Okay,
that move?
Should we all throw $20 in on the wedding cake, the 40-year-old wedding cake? You guys on it?
Is it up for auction?
Yes. Didn't you hear the whole first story?
Well, it's only, but it's not like we could buy it. It's that's the starting bid.
No, they think it's going to go for $400.
We can't even organize a 4th of July party.
Go to the auction house.
All right, all right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sneak away and buy the cake.
There she Thanks, Arbel. Off to a rocky start. I think you saved it in the end. All right, Tracy Taylor, looking at traffic for us on a Wednesday. All righty, here we go. You're right to us. That's good. Good, good, good. Come on in, everybody. All right, some local, not some local news, but some news from, well, the mid part of the United States. And it's nice to see Blagojevich, Tom, has decided this is our governor that said, I got this thing and it blankety blank, it's golden. I'm not just going to give it away for nothing. Of course, that was the recording of him talking about the Senate seat that he had after Barack Obama left. And then he ended up getting caught. I think, were they convicted him to like 17 years or 20 years? I know that Trump commuted his term. In February, did he get out?
So I think it was like 14 years, and he was given seven. Trump said, he's served his time, and I don't think what he did is that big a deal, so I'm going to let him go. That was his justification.
Yeah.
So now he's
a Democrat. Now he's out. He's a Trumpocrat.
Yes. He says he's abandoned the Democratic Party since they abandoned him for his corruption. And since Trump embraced him, he calls himself a Trumpocrat and would be running as a Republican. But he's not allowed to run.
No.
According to the legislative move against him at the time to force him out of office, they passed a rule or something that said part of this is that he can no longer run for office. So now, I mean, I think this is an interesting issue. It's not that he's a convicted felon and therefore can't run. I think it was a legislative action. So now he's challenging the constitutionality of that rule or legislation that says he can never run. He feels like, hey, he wasn't really pardoned. He was just given clemency, being let out of jail.
Right.
It's not that he was not, his crime not was expunged. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's taking it to court.
He says, I'm back and better than ever, and he wants to run. Once you're in politics like that, what else is he going to do?
Yeah.
So he wants to step back in again. And then Mark McCluskey, he was the guy that stood there on the steps. I forget, it was in early June, I think it was last year, that he and his wife were out there, and they had their guns, and the people had broken in, knocked down the gate, and come into a private property, and he stood out there, and, you know... Oh my God! Does she have the mustard stain on her? On her? Did he have the mustard stain? I forget who had the mustard stain. Well, anyway, they got charged with a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
And I said, and I think he's not going to get. He's running for Senate. He's not going to get any votes from women because you could tell they took a photo that he looked good with his AR-15. She not so good with her semi-automatic, like a 45 she's holding there. Oh, her face looks like not good.
I don't think he looked good either, though, because he's smaller than she is, but has a much bigger weapon. And she's this relatively, you know, big woman, at least compared to her husband. And she has this little handgun. I think it's hilarious. I think somebody ought to do a comedy with those two just as an image of.
Well, here's his real serious.
When the angry mob came to destroy my house and kill my family, I took a stand against them. Now I'm asking for the privilege to take that stand for all of us. I will never back down.
Wow.
Our nation is under attack. Big tech, big business, the swamp in D.C. are all working together to destroy our God-given freedom, our culture, and our heritage. When was the last time a politician defended you, defended America, stood between you and the mob? We need defenders.
Yeah, he was on the wrestling team in high school. And he was also head of the student council.
He seems to have like a small man complex or something. I mean, that is just, he's an accidental star on the right. I mean, a lot of us mock him, but in certain circles on the right, he is, you know, a hero of sorts. But
I know, but it's the saddest thing is these people get publicity, and then people come to you. Remember Joe the Plumber? Remember Joe the Plumber?
Oh, yeah, sure.
He ran for office.
Confronted
did you know that?
Biden, yes.
In Ohio. No, Obama.
He didn't win?
Oh, no, is it Obama? He didn't win. No, but it's like, is it? God, I hope they don't come up. I hope somebody came to Mark McCluskey. You should seriously think about running. And then they talk him into it. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, last girl in the bar, always the prettiest kind of, oh, I don't know, let me talk to my wife about it. But if this was his idea, like when Joe the plumber, his idea, because all of a sudden you get all this attention, you don't want to let it go. Mm-hmm. You think, I know, I'll convert all that. People love me. Everywhere I go, people love me. I'm going to run for office. So he's going to fight hard with giant, deep, exploding, musical, heavy notes.
When the angry mob came to destroy my house and kill my family,
another big note
I took
here.
A stand against
boom.
Them.
Give me a big
now
boom.
Now I'm asking for the privilege to take that stand
boom.
For all of us.
Oh, there must be sound effects of, like, there must be pictures
people
sliding
are walking by.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, no, the thing is, I mean, they didn't come to his house, and they didn't go try to kill his children. They were going to a Democratic mayor's house down the street. I mean, it's like, the fact that he builds it up like he was under a... Anyway.
Well, he did have guns. Maybe that kept him away. All right. Tracy Taylor, please save us from ourselves. What do you